Will you be quitting Facebook today? Disgruntled Facebook members want you to join the Quit campaign as a protest against the lack of privacy on the social networking site. It's a tough call for many people because they use Facebook to maintain their social networks. As you know, Life Matters has its own Facebook page where we welcome your comments. So, what to do? I'm joined now by two long-time thinkers on the digital domain. Laurel Papworth's a social network strategist and blogger, and Mark Pesci, writer, researcher, and honorary associate in digital cultures at the University of Sydney. You probably see him on The New Inventors too. Hello, Mark. Hello, Laurel.
Good morning.
Hello.
Mark, you've decided to quit.
I did. In fact, I got in on Friday, got ahead of the rush.
Why?
Well, really, I think the final straw was when the Wall Street Journal reported on Friday before last that Facebook had been caught handing over confidential user data to advertisers. This is data that they'd sworn that they wouldn't share. And this is when I realized that, in fact, Facebook is already sitting on the biggest wealth of marketing data ever gathered by any organization ever in human history. And if that's not enough for them, if they can't constrain themselves to that, then we really can't trust them with anything. And really, the social network, the social graph, which is the set of connections that I have with other people, it used to live inside of our heads. It's just popped out. It's now out there in the real world. And the longer it's out there, the more I realize how important, how valuable, and how much it needs to be protected. And I don't consider Facebook a good custodian. I don't consider them a good parent. And so you can think of me as sort of child protective services, and I'm taking the child away.
You must be one of the most nuanced and sophisticated users of Facebook and this kind of media of just about anybody, certainly anybody I think I've spoken to about this. I mean, is this really such a surprise? Isn't it clear that that's what Facebook has? It has information about you and everybody else, and that's information it can sell to other people.
Nothing is clear about Facebook. Facebook has done everything it can to be as opaque as possible about what it's doing and why it's doing it. And this is part of the problem, is that regular users really don't have any idea. If you explained targeted behavioral advertising to an average person and did it in detail in language that they wanted to understand, they'd probably be horrified. They'd probably say, wait a minute, I didn't really sign up for that, only they did.
Yeah, they signed up. What they signed up was for this free service, which turns out to be astoundingly useful, but there has to be something in it for somebody.
Yes, but the question is, where's that bargain? Do they get to set all of the parameters of what's useful, or is there a negotiation? There hasn't been any negotiation. There's been Facebook up on high saying, this is what will be the case. Oh, and if we change the rules on you, well, sod you.
All right. Well, Laurel, can I come to you? You don't intend to quit Facebook, do you?
No, I don't. We see this happen every year, and it's getting a little bit boring now.
What? What do you mean?
The first time that a large number of people said that they would quit Facebook was about 4 years ago, and it was when the school students realized that Facebook were opening up to non-college kids.
Mm.
The next year, the news feed was introduced, which is the thing that shows you all the updates mm-hmm. that are happening in your social network, and I think it was 75% of the network signed a petition to say, turn it off.
Yep.
Mark Zuckerberg did then, as he does, which he did just recently.
This is the guy behind Facebook, yep.
He's not the guy behind Facebook. We'll get to him in a moment. But Mark Zuckerberg is the now 26-year-old CEO, or if you like, president of a country of 500 million citizens.
Mm.
He said back then, 3 years ago, take a chill pill, folks, it's staying, and let me tell you why. Now, he's turned down his tone a lot since then, but then again, recently we had with Beacon, which was a similar kind of advertising platform that was opened up, he had to say the same thing again. It's staying. He eventually turned it off after a year, and now he's brought it back again this year again. So about once a year, we see people getting up that these things have been turned on,
so, Laurel,
and eventually they sort of don't get used to it.
So the fact that Facebook have been caught out giving information that they didn't say that they would give to advertisers about you, that's not stepping over the line.
There's a couple of things here. One for me, one is I teach people about targeted advertising, so I think that the people are starting to understand what it is. It actually means information that's being brought to you, which is more relevant to you, to your life, than getting ads which are just in broadcast mode. So it actually is helpful, and a lot of people would rather it turned on than turned off once they truly understand what it is.
But surely ads that are more targeted to you will be more effective at getting you to buy things.
Advertising is just information. And if the information that comes to me normally, because I list myself as being female on a social network, I get a whole lot of ads about makeup and cosmetics, which I'm not interested in. But if I fill out my Facebook profile that I'm interested in geeky stuff and I start getting invitations or I start seeing ads for conferences about technology, then that's going to be information to me. That's, you know, it's going to be relevant, contextually relevant information to me. And I'd rather that than the cosmetics ads. But that's, you know, not everybody wants that. My understanding. There's a couple of things here. One is, and this has been public knowledge for a long time, the guy behind Facebook is Peter Thiel, and he invests a lot of money into different things, including the Thank You for Smoking movie and those kind of things. His co-investor is InQtel, which is the CIA, is the arm of the CIA, their investment and technology arm. So for quite a few years now, CIA has been involved and invested in Facebook. So I'm sure that they thank you for all the information you've been uploading over the last few years as well.
On Life Matters Today, if you've just joined us, we're talking about this idea of quitting Facebook, this movement. I think it started in Canada. 25,000 people have signed up so far out of about, Laura says 500 million, I've seen 400 million, whatever. That still leaves a lot of people not leaving, I think. I guess Laurel Papworth, who's a social network strategist and blogger and enthusiastic Facebook user, and Mark Pesce, who's a former enthusiastic Facebook user.
I was never really that enthusiastic.
He's an author and with an honorary associate in digital cultures at Sydney Uni. Are you?
Can I just say, Facebook signed up 10 million people in the last week.
Right.
So those numbers leaving are not even
a drop
in
the
ocean.
It is. It's not.
Except that it's the right people. It's the people who have a mind to go and create competitors to Facebook that are open and yet preserve privacy. And we've seen a groundswell of initiatives which will, at the very least, start to nibble at what Facebook can do.
Can I just ask you, Mark, I'm sure you know what you're doing better than most people, but you shut down your account on Friday.
Yes.
So all that information about you, is that gone now?
Well, at the moment, it's in a limbo. Facebook, it's very interesting because, you know, most systems you can delete and your account's gone immediately. But Facebook somehow wants to give you time to think the decision over. So for 2 weeks from Friday, if I log in, my account will immediately spring back to life. And I almost had this moment where it seemed like I pressed the wrong button on my mobile and might have logged back in. But it didn't happen.
You don't think that's true, Laurel?
No social network deletes your information, and they certainly shouldn't. And as somebody who's run communities, and really large communities, I have to add, I would never delete a user's information just because they left.
Hang on.
But I want that information. That's my information. I should be able to delete it. I should have complete control over it.
No, you shouldn't, actually. And one of the main reasons for that is that predators come into networks and they set up accounts in order to connect with someone. But the minute they've made their connection, they delete their account. And this happens across the board. Not only predators, but all kinds of organized crime, all sorts. We need to keep that information behind the scenes.
All right, so
the system rather than public.
If we can stipulate that the law enforcement agencies have a copy of that information, Facebook shouldn't have a copy of it.
I would not be handing over that information to law enforcement agencies without them giving me some kind of legal document that they require.
But I don't trust Facebook nearly as much as I might trust ASIO or the AFP.
That's interesting, Laura. You're actually saying you trust Facebook more than you trust the law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, it's a numbers game. Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the issues here, and it always has been with Facebook, is we either want Facebook to police the sites, which means we want an American company to tell Australians what they can and can't say. In that case, they also have to police Iraq and China and tell those citizens what they can and can't say based on what their government says, or else they're hands-off. And my information is that they're more hands-off, so I actually trust them more.
Can I ask you, Laurel, don't people like Mark have a point about the complexities of the privacy settings? It's not easy, unless you are a fairly geeky person, to work out the privacy settings and sort them out.
They're bringing in a one button change, but it's this simple, and I teach this in classes. Okay, you go to the top right hand corner to account, you click on application, sorry, you click on privacy, and then you change two settings there. You change one about what applications can do and the other one about what your friends can do with your information and passing it on. And once that's done, nobody can get to your information. It's two, three clicks.
You're saying it's quite easy then?
Yeah, the challenge is that people don't know which menu to go to, and I understand that, but they can't say on one hand, we want to be able to control and customize who sees which photo album, who sees my wall, who, you know, and create groups that can see different things on one hand, and then on the other hand go, oh, I just want one button that does everything. There's a disparity there.
All right, I'll come back to you in a tick. Mark, if you've given up Facebook.
Yes.
What are the alternatives?
Well, right now, what I've done is I've pointed everyone, when I was leaving Facebook, I let everyone in Facebook know that I would be leaving, and I created something called Posterous, which is basically, because I used Facebook to share when I found something interesting or I wrote an article or something like that, I would simply share it out through Facebook, and that's what I used Facebook for. Now, other people use Facebook for other things, so I've created a space called Posterous, and so I can share things through that, and people can go over to my Posterous page and take a look at what I'm sharing. Now, the interesting thing was when I did that, I immediately got pushback from my 650 friends on Facebook going, oh, that's too hard. We like the fact that everything's nice and centralized. And that's the big allure of Facebook. That's the thing that Facebook has offered, is that it's created this gigantic centralized pool of people being connected together. I think that the world will transition to will be a decentralized pool of people sharing together, because I think there are real dangers with things being centralized. When someone, whether a government or a hacker, tries to take Facebook down, it will take Facebook down for all 500 million users.
Laurel, can I ask you, I mean, Facebook has been under fire.
Can I ask Mark a question? If I leave a comment on his Posterous account, is it public or is it private?
Public.
Can I ask you, Laurel, and we have to start to wrap this up. Facebook's been under fire from a variety of sources, not just its users, privacy commissioners in some countries, politicians who want them to censor material, police and lawyers who want access to the data. Do you think that there is going to be more change at Facebook?
Yes. And there's going to be more people who are short-sighted and don't understand Mark Zuckerberg's vision who each year will leave.
Right, okay.
But they'll be in small numbers, and they'll usually be competitors anyway. So, yeah, I think there's going to be continued big changes. I do want to say, out of all the announcements, the privacy one didn't concern me and the changes regarding there. The one that did, that no one's paying any attention to, is something called Facebook credits. Mark Zuckerberg is setting himself up to be the treasurer of the internet, and Facebook credits means you can add in your loyalty points from your Visa card, from your supermarket card, from everywhere, and start trading Farmville gifts and all sorts of things online. And he will have a huge economy. It will be the third largest economy in the world. Nobody seems to be paying any attention to that one.
Mark.
Well, I'll tell you, I think that there's a lot of talk about privacy and privacy is over, particularly coming from Mark Zuckerberg. Well, the interesting thing about that is he wants privacy to be over for people, but he doesn't want privacy to be over for Facebook or for corporations or for governments. And I think what we need to do is we need to see a bit of a sea change there. When Facebook is as transparent as he wants his users to be, then perhaps we could trust it.
I think that is where we will wrap it up. I want to thank you both for joining me today. Mark Pesce is an author and honorary associate in digital cultures at the University of Sydney. Laurel Papworth, who's been kind enough to join us on the phone when she hasn't been feeling 100%, is a social network strategist and blogger. Thank you, Laurel.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
And I am sitting here thinking, geez, I'm glad I never did it despite numerous invitations.